Hi everyone, welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to next year's Oscars. I'm Nick Rohrkraut.
And I'm Sophia Simonello.
And today we have a fun pod. We'll be talking about a new release that just came out today on Netflix called Hitman, Richard Linklater's latest film. So we'll kind of talk about him too and what we think about his filmography. But we'll dive into the movie at least enough. We won't spoil anything big about it, but we'll break down some fun scenes and talk about what we think about his writing. And like you mentioned on the last pod, co-written also by Glenn Powell. So it's kind of a fun turn for him here.
Yeah. Glenn Powell, hot and smart. We love to see it. I'm really excited to talk about this movie. This is one of my favorite releases so far of the year. I had so much fun with it. And I think it's a gem in Richard Linklater's filmography. I think it features some standout scenes that really align with some of his other work. If we're thinking about previous entries in his filmography, genres that he's interested in, but also things we've never seen from him before, which I think is always exciting for a filmmaker who has been around for a while. And I think who's one that is a favorite of people in our generation, for sure, based on when we grew up.
Yeah, this year we're celebrating 20 years of Before Sunset, the second film in the Before trilogy. I was trying to think back. I'm like, oh, he hasn't made a movie in a while, but he has. I just haven't seen them. So yeah. His most recent film was Apollo 10 and a half, made 2 years ago. The one before that, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Before that, Last Flag Flying. So there have been films recently. Have you seen any of these? What do you think about his recent films versus some of his classics, I think, what we think of when we talk about Linklater films?
It's really difficult because he has high highs and low lows for me as a director. And some of his low lows are these recent films. I thought Apollo 10 and a half was okay, but I didn't really, really enjoy it. I didn't like Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Of course I saw that. Cate Blanchett is in it. I mean, of course I saw that. But they just don't compare to the Before trilogy, to Boyhood, of course, to School of Rock, one of my favorites, Dazed and Confused. I mean, some of those really big Linklater films that we associate with him, I feel like they just pale in comparison.
Mm-hmm. I did watch Everybody Wants Some recently and really loved it. I found it to be this really fun, like Animal House meets Saturday Night Fever because of the soundtrack kind of vibe. And it also goes along with my Snack Shack recent love as well. And I think what he's doing there, which may feel like a lesser Linklater, and I don't necessarily think it is, I think he's channeling that here in Hitman, and that's what I love, is this like really sharp writing. He's so funny, and he just understands people, relationships, and different settings so well. Like in the Before trilogy, we're in different cities in Europe. In this one, Everybody Wants Some, we're at a college on a baseball team, and so we're kind of reliving those days, similar to Dazed and Confused, graduating from high school. And then here in Hitman, we're in New Orleans, working with a police department and this fake hitman. And so he's really good at changing up the scenery, but really understanding what's behind it. And we can dive into that too. I think we should talk about some of his movies at the Oscars first and where he was nominated there. So first he was up for Before Sunset and nominated in the adapted screenplay category, also for Before Midnight. And then most recently, his biggest hit at the Oscars was Boyhood, which won one Oscar for Patricia Arquette for Supporting Actress, and then was also nominated for five others, including Picture, Director, Original Screenplay, Editing, and Supporting Actor for Ethan Hawke. And I think what's fun is that he works with the same actors over time many, many times. He did that with Ethan Hawke, you know, Boyhood, and then the Before trilogy. But also here with Glenn Powell, who was in Everybody Wants Some. And I was like, oh my God, he was a star before the last three movies he's done. I feel like he's skyrocketed. But he's been around for a while. And I think it's fun to see those people, even Jasper in this movie also, show up previously.
Did you see Spy Kids 3D as a kid?
I probably did. Oh, for Glenn?
Yeah. Not a Linklater movie, but a Glenn Powell early text.
Not what I came out of that remembering. Probably as a teen. I don't even know how old I was then, but yes, a pivotal film for him, I'm sure.
His character's name was Long-Fingered Boy. Just, you know, add it to your list for future trivia questions. That is Glenn Powell's feature film debut. But yeah, he really has risen in star power since then. And I need to rewatch Everybody Wants Some now that I feel much more familiar with Glenn Powell and his work and just his kind of meteoric rise recently, because he was in Top Gun Maverick, which was the biggest movie of that year. And he was my favorite part of that. I think he's a movie star. I've bought stock in Glenn Powell and I'm excited for Twisters later this summer. But back to Linklater for a second. I wanted to ask you about Boyhood in particular. And we were already friends and watching the Oscars together mostly at this point in our lives. Was this year at the Oscars one of the most tragic years in your time watching the Oscars? Not to give away my answer a little bit or lead in, but I don't remember how you felt about it.
I think this year, so this is the Birdman year. At the time I liked that film, I was also really swept up in the Boyhood craze and like the idea of making this new kind of film over an extended period of time. And I probably wanted Linklater to have won more out of his nominations, but I don't know if I would have called this a big disappointment. I definitely need to rewatch it because I haven't since. I think of Linklater's movies, it's probably one that's harder to revisit, maybe just for its length, but it is a more meditative film. Maybe we do cover this at some point this year because it's 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But are you implying that you wanted Boyhood to win that year instead?
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the most crushing Oscar years for me because that year, Boyhood was easily, I think, in my top five favorite films. I think it's just so beautiful and sort of miraculous in how it contemplates life. And I love films like that that just make you sit with your place in the world. There are so many beautiful scenes just about what's next in life and how that's different for the parents and for the children. That just really hit me even more on this rewatch. So I'm excited. I think we should cover this year, as painful as it might be for me to rewatch Birdman, a film that I do not care for. I will gladly talk about Boyhood any day in 2014 as a film year. But it was just one of those where I felt like because this craze for Birdman and its gimmicks from Inuyari 2 just seemed to come out of nowhere. And then it just swept the Oscars in every category except for the one that I wanted it to win in, which was Michael Keaton and Best Actor, which just, if that's not a picture of what the Oscars do to me every year, then I don't know what is. But I adore Boyhood and feel like it should have won many more Oscars, including Ethan Hawke for supporting actor. I remember just really loving him. So yeah, I'm excited to cover that. I think we should. I feel like the music and the specific cues that he picked from each year are pretty remarkable in how they held up. Mm-hmm. Going to get the Harry Potter book, certain songs that were popular at the time. It is just such a nostalgia trip. So yeah, I think we definitely need to cover that at some point.
Because what he's doing there, he's capturing multiple generations, but he's also doing that like in the Before trilogy throughout different films. So I think revisiting things over time, your emotions are supposed to change because of where you are. And I think that's what's special about his films too, is you can watch them again after many, many years and still get something so completely different out of it. And that's the joy in it too. So yeah, I'll have to rewatch this and we can put it on the calendar for some point.
That sounds so good. Well, let's get into Hitman from this year. So this premiered actually last year at festivals and it's now getting a release. So it's in some theaters right now. and is on Netflix in the U.S. today, the day of this episode release, June 7th. So description here, a mild-mannered professor moonlighting as a fake contract killer sparks a chain reaction of trouble when he falls for a client. This was directed by Richard Linklater and written by Richard Linklater and Glenn Powell. It also stars Glenn Powell and Adria Arjona. So you saw this last year at New York Film Festival, and I remember you recommending it to me, and I had to miss the screening, so then I had to wait half a year to watch this, a little over half a year to watch it. So take us back to how you felt on your first watch and now your rewatch, because you've watched it again since then.
I really loved it when I first saw it at the New York Film Festival. I thought the humor was just so good throughout. The script is really sharp, and it takes you along on this journey, not only really quickly, but the entire time, and you are really in it. Looking at reviews now, a lot of people are saying, oh, they don't make movies like this anymore, or you just really don't know where the film is going. And I think that's the fun of it, too, is you have to buy into certain things in this world. But I think if you do that, you're going to come out having a really, really fun experience. It's based on this true story of Gary Johnson, which is something that actually happened in Houston. But I think it was seeing Glenn Powell just totally transform. In my first review, I wrote that he was chameleonic. And I think just seeing him do so many different things was so exciting. And I think by the end, you are entirely wrapped up in it all. And on my second viewing, I was waiting for that scene to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I cannot wait for the audience to like experience this and for me to again. So I think there's a lot of joy in it. My one thought is, because we have seen this at different times related to a different movie, Anyone But You, which has also incredible chemistry between him and Sydney Sweeney. And I think he really does here too with Adria Arjona. I'm curious of your thoughts on having seen that movie before this one in terms of his rise and him playing opposite a really famous, also beautiful actress. And if you think flip-flopping those films would have changed your view of his acting in a way.
That's a good question. First, I want to tell a quick little story, which I think is very funny, which is that I was talking to my mom about Anyone But You, and she asked me who was in it. And I told her Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, and she said, Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, what is this, 1954? Because their name sounds so like old Hollywood studio. I thought that was so funny. But anyway, so yes, I saw Anyone But You, I think right after Christmas. It was right when I got back to the city. I actually saw Anyone But You and then Magnolia as a double feature in the same day. It was very weird. Such a strange lineup. But I think both movies show Glenn Powell's movie star chops. Absolutely. He can have charisma with a wall. Like, that is just the power of Glenn Powell, I think, and his charm as an actor. And I preferred his chemistry with Adria Arjona in Hitman, for sure. And I think that's not just because they really, I think, are pretty evenly matched in the movie, that it's so much fun to watch. Whereas the writing in Anyone But You does that movie zero favors. And the fact that it's also riffing off of Much Ado About Nothing just makes it even worse. Yeah. It's a plane movie. There's a reason why now, if you're going on a long flight, every single person on the plane is watching it. Just go into it and try to have fun, and you probably will, but it's not some big cinematic achievement. Whereas this, I feel like there's a lot more to dig into in the relationship between Adria's character, Maddie, and Glenn's character, Gary / Ron, and what it's really saying about seduction, identity and relationships, your ego. So seeing them, I think, play off of each other and match each other beat for beat was really fun.
Oh, I totally agree. The first scene that we get with them, I think you are just as whisked away by both of them and their chemistry as they are in the story. And there's a moment when she is like so swept up. She's like, so what do you do? And like, they both have to step back a second and realize, mm-hmm. oh, wait, yes, we're here because I hired you to be a hitman. So that moment is funny as a viewer, but I think Adria is incredible because you see it on her face that she is screwed up too. So I think it's little moments like that that make this really special and warm, but it's also just the screwball comedy of having them all work together, have the cops be in his ear while he's on scene, like with these people who are hiring him, especially Retta, who played Donna in Parks and Rec. I think mm-hmm. she's even great here. It's kind of weird seeing it all happen together, but I think as the movie goes on, again, you buy into it pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And seeing Glenn Powell as Ron, this teacher, you know, maybe some people will see this as really heavy-handed, as he's teaching psychology and talking about the id, the ego, the superego, and those differences. But I think it does layer nicely with the story and being able to uncover these layers of your own self and in kind of asking, can people change? Who are you inside? And, you know, see him do this in work, be somebody different every single day. It's fun, mm-hmm. but it's also, yeah, really smart.
Yeah, I really do think, and you said screwball, which is exactly right. I do think this is a movie for old Hollywood fans in many ways, because it's part screwball, part film noir, and it plays with those conventions really nicely. And if you're a fan of either of those genres, you can see specific things coming that align with those, and then Linklater quickly disarms you and surprises you. I, at many points in this movie, had no idea where it was going because of how playfully he switches back and forth between those two genres. And like you said, how chameleonic Glenn Powell is as first this psychology and philosophy professor Gary, who has two cats named Id and Ego, who is very nerdy. And at the beginning, I love that he has this small little classroom. Mm-hmm. And then this great detail is that as the movie progresses and he leans into this character, Ron, this hitman that he's impersonating, Gary starts to take on the characteristics of Ron, therefore becoming hotter. He doesn't wear his glasses anymore. His hair is slicked back. He has been to the gym. And his classroom gets bigger. He has hordes of people outside. His small little classroom becomes a lecture hall. And I just think that is such a fun little detail to show how, again, like you said, you can maybe take on other characteristics or convince other people that you are different than you were initially, all because of attitude and belief. And that's how I think his profession as this psychology and philosophy professor, which I agree is a little on the nose at times, but I think it works for the genres he's playing with, that ties in so well with why he would be so drawn to his side gig of wanting to go undercover as a hitman. And I think what's so funny in seeing how skillfully he takes on these other personas is that he's studying what each person that he's interacting with, what their idea of a hitman is. And it's funny because there isn't actually a single hitman in the movie, but instead it's this guy who's acting. So playing with filmmaking and expectations around what we're watching in that way too, which I think is really clever.
And I think that's what's so refreshing about this movie is just how brave Glenn Powell is to be doing all of these things. I feel like there are other actors that are a bit more reserved and like we want them to go there. And here Glenn does. I mean, he's doing Patrick Bateman. He's doing very feminine. Yeah, it's like something you would never, ever in a million years expect him to do. I mean, also talking about anyone but you. I mean, he's like fully naked and they're like entwined together in a scene. It's just like, I cannot believe we're watching this happen. So I think the way he does it, it brings you into that character too. It's like Gary is a a little stuffy and neurotic. And I think as he opens up, I mean, yes, it's funny, like when the other policemen are like, damn, Gary, you're hot now.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, I want to be friends with Ron. Who's Ron? I want to. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, I want to hook up with Ron.
Oh, yes.
And he overhears them on the phone. And that's when he kind of, I think it clicks in that he needs to become Ron or lean into those traits a bit more.
Yeah. And as a viewer, I think, you know, that makes you think about yourself and maybe ways that you want yourself to change. But the way he does it is so smooth that you buy into it. You see him with his ex-wife at one point and they debate this whole topic too. And at this point, he's buying into that he can change. And, you know, being a professor, I think he feels a lot of that tension inside. And we're seeing that play out in real life for him.
I really like that scene with his ex-wife, too, because at first you are trying to figure out their relationship or a little bit about Gary's past, which they're really good, actually, about not giving you much backstory. They just drop you right into his world and you have to figure out the details of the present for him, which I really appreciate, and why he's like this and interested in taking on personas. But in that conversation, I like how she tells him that there's new research, basically, that you can change your personality rather quickly. So for this conversation to take place too, Gary isn't just changing his attire, right? He's not just putting on a black trench coat or going skeet shooting and wearing camo for that. He's actually taking on the personality traits that the people hiring the hitman want. And the fun part about that too, and all of those scenes, you know, as we go through each little snippet of Gary interacting with the people who want to put a hit on someone, it's that they all fall for his ruse, not necessarily because he's so good at his job, but because they're so blinded by their own want to have someone killed, for their own desire for violence. And that, I think, is also a really interesting detail that leans nicely into that kind of noir, almost like Coen comedy style here. That I thought about them. I thought about Steven Soderbergh a bit in those scenes too, which I really liked.
And then in other scenes, we're in the courtroom and it's the ramifications of all of this, of going to court, of finding them guilty or not guilty, which I think as you're watching, you know they're guilty, and seeing that there's an alternate ending for these people kind of shocks you. So I think it's also fun to see them play that out. That there are happier endings in a way for these people than just going to jail because they're trying to kill somebody. I think that's an interesting twist that they put on this as well. And again, it just bends the genre of what this movie is, because that will send you back to old courthouse films like Witness for the Prosecution and Billy Wilder. You know, it's reminding you of all of these great screenwriters from old Hollywood.
Well, and I like those scenes too, because we have Glenn Powell in voiceover saying that you can't take it personally. Like, these people, they're going to say mean things about you because you're the person who is holding them accountable or tricking them. And for a moment, you feel Linklater asking you, like, is what Gary is doing courageous or morally right? Is there something wrong with his trickery? Even though these people are, you know, trying to get their husbands or wives or someone in their lives killed. It's just a really interesting question, I think, that pops up throughout the film, especially as Gary meets Maddie in the diner and she just throws him for a loop and suddenly nothing is really as it seems. I think they have, like we talked about at the beginning, they have great chemistry together, and this first scene is really like any great scene in a romantic comedy. She wants him to kill her husband, and he has a moment where he has to decide, like, do I do to you what I've done to everybody else or not? And I think, as you can tell by the trailer, the answer is no. And he's just really, really charmed by her. And this is, I think, when it gets a bit more into the film noir genre. I listened to an interview with Linklater from a Q&A he did at New York Film Festival last year, and he brought up something that we actually brought up when we talked about Double Indemnity and Barbara Stanwyck, which is a core tenet of film noir is that you have to ask yourself, would you throw it all away for her? Would you throw it all away for this woman? And if the answer is sort of a believable yes for a character, then you have a good film noir, you have a good femme fatale character. And I think with her, you do believe that he is just so infatuated with her, so into her. She has so much power over him, and I think over the viewer, that it works perfectly in that way as a film noir.
But it's never manipulative, which is also something that I love. She doesn't use it against him. They kind of play off each other just really well. I mean, as characters and actors, we get these really romantic scenes of them together. There's another of like him holding a puppy in a park, and all of her friends are like falling in love with him too. It just goes to all of these different places, and you never define it as one thing. It is part rom-com, but it is like thriller and noir, like you're saying. It's, I think, fun to bend the story because that leads into a finale that you don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And so when it does turn darker or just more intense, you don't see that coming, but I think that draws you in all the more.
Yeah, I completely agree. Obviously, like we said at the top, we're not going to spoil what happens in the finale, but it is really, I think the whole thing is really surprising. And there's a great scene with a cell phone, I'll just say that, between the two of them that I thought was really mm-hmm. expertly executed and really fun. But yeah, I highly recommend this movie. Go see it in theaters if you can, if it's playing in your area. And if it's not, watch it on Netflix. It's a really fun summer movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think seeing it in a theater with an audience like made it all the more fun. So if you could give this movie one Oscar, what would you give it?
I have a few options here, but I have to give Best Actor to Glenn Powell. He is playing multiple versions of this character. He's himself as Gary. He's also in multiple disguises, leaning into these over-the-top personas, while also still never losing Gary at the heart of those characters, while also then embodying a new persona in Ron. So I feel like that's just really smart character work. And I think him writing the screenplay also has a lot to do with that. He and Linklater are both Texans. I actually wonder why this movie wasn't set in Texas. I feel like that just would fit with both of them. But yeah, I think I have to say Glenn Powell. He's a movie star, and this is one of my favorite performances of his. I think actually my favorite performance of his. What about you?
So that part about Texas, I was curious about that too, because it originally happened in Houston. I think it was financial issues and like tax credits in terms of actually filming there that they couldn't. So they went to New Orleans, which is like a real reason, but I think also plays into the identity theme really well, actually, of the whole story. I'm between two, but I'm going to give it to Linklater and Powell for writing. I think the script is also why I really wanted to revisit this and speaks to Linklater, but also Powell's abilities. And I'm curious what he'll do next from here, if he'll do more, if he'll direct, or who knows? He literally can do it all. And that what we've been talking about is what we love about him. I think this is also like one of the best chances for it at the Oscars, if we do end up seeing this throughout award season, is in the script, because like we mentioned at the top, that's where Linklater showed up the most times also. So, I mean, I hope it has potential, and I hope that everyone sees this, and maybe that it being on a screener will help its chances too with voters and them watching it throughout the year.
I do think this will play really well at home. While I obviously recommend going to see it in a theater, I think that it will be a really easy at-home viewing. And as far as the Oscars go, this is going to be a weird year, like we've talked about. And I'm not quite sure how adapted screenplay will shake out in particular yet. I mean, we don't know how any of these categories will go, let's be honest. But I hope that there's a chance. That would be really fun. I would love if they could pick up a critics prize somewhere. I could see that happening.
Well, we will see, because later this month we'll be doing our early Oscar predictions. So that'll be fun.
I know.
But next time on Oscar Wilde, we'll be reviewing School of Rock, another Linklater, one of both of our favorites, I think. So we'll be doing that on Patreon and sharing a little preview on the main feed, but as part of our After Dark series. So we'll be diving into that. I'm sure that will be a lot of fun. And my recent rewatch was lovely, as always.
School of Rock is one of my most quoted movies. I might be able to recite the screenplay from memory. It is so funny and was really important for me growing up. It was one of the first movies I really, really loved. So I'm very excited to talk about that. Thank you all for listening. If you like our show, please feel free to rate, review, and follow. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Oscar Wilde Pod. And for bonus content, you can find us at patreon.com/OscarWilde.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.